Around Comics, episode 32.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
I traveled through time to be here today.
No, you didn't. We're also joined by our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
You're about to become a victim of editing magic.
Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thank you for being on Around Comics.
Got no place else to go, Chris.
Can I go home?
I don't want to be here.
This episode of Around Comics is sponsored by GeekArmor.com. Mr. Salazar, can you tell the fine listeners out there about GeekArmor?
GeekArmor.com sells t-shirts with the geek in mind, featuring a great selection of comic book t-shirts as well as video game, sci-fi, TV, and movie shirts. You are sure to find something you like. Check out their latest design, a red shirt with a phaser hole on the front that reads, "I went on an away mission and all I got was this lousy t-shirt." And now the good folks at GeekArmor.com are offering a 10% discount to all Around Comics listeners. Just use the coupon code AROUNDCOMICS, all one word, when placing your order and receive an additional 10% off. GeekArmor.com, check them out today.
A quick reminder that Around Comics is recorded every Friday from 7 to 9 at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. Another quick note, if you listen to Around Comics through iTunes, like we know most of you do, please drop by the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We would really appreciate it. This is a midweek episode of Around Comics, so if you are a first-time listener, we would definitely suggest that you go back and listen to one of our Monday episodes.
Listen to all of the episodes.
just to get caught up.
Collectors.
No, our Monday episodes are the longer episodes that have all of the wire-to-wire comic news and top-of-the-stack recommendations. They give you the full Around Comics experience. But today, we're talk about a couple topics. Kind of mulling around looking for some stuff to talk about, and so I went back to our May contest thread, and one of our favorite posters on the forum, Papercut, had made a post that had a lot of different
topics. Papercut.
One of his thousands of dissertations on the forum, and it was a great post with a lot of good ideas. None of them were enough to make an entire show about, but I think
Put them together. You know, go back to the drawing board, Papercut. Start. Man. I want to see double the amount of posts.
And no double spacing.
And no,
I think we should respect the Socratic method more.
Oh.
A series of questions leading to dialogue.
Tom.
I haven't finished my first beer.
All right, guys. From Papercut, I'm going to go over the. We've got about five or six good topics here.
I'm ready to answer.
All right. Do people ever really plan on selling their collection someday?
Absolutely.
Even I have uttered the following words, a long time ago, albeit, when asked why I buy comics. Said, I love them, and because they're also investments. Now, should comics have an intrinsic value to them? Should they be viewed as investments? In other words, if there was no secondary market or collectability to comics, would that be better or worse for the industry? Would you enjoy them more? So I guess the question is, first, do you ever plan on selling your comics?
Yes. All of them. No.
All of them. Someday.
I've sold my comic collection twice in the past, and I'm in the process of weeding it down from, 20 long boxes to hopefully half that
two
amount
issues.
But I'm hoping to weed it down to hopefully half of what I have now, but I'm not actually selling them this time around. I'm trading them in on trades and hardcover editions and stuff that I think I would go back and read, because a lot of the crap that I have in my long boxes is just that, it's crap, and I'll never
Books.
I mean, it's gold to someone, But to me, it's
stuff you're never going
to
read again.
It's stuff I'm never going to read again. I'm never going to use again. There's no point to it. It's taking up tons of space. And I'd rather trade in, you know, I think the last time I was here, I traded in a couple of long boxes of stuff that honestly I would never miss. I'll never go back and read again for the Fantastic Four Omnibus, which I thought was a fantastic deal for me because I'll use that. I'll read it. You know, I may go
and
back
to
it.
You're not going to shove that in a long box. It's
right.
Always going to sit on a bookshelf. That's going to look cool.
Yeah, so absolutely.
You traded all those comics for old comics?
Well, yeah. I mean, in that instance,
all
I
those,
did.
Sorry,
Tom.
Well, Tom, would you or do you ever plan on just ditching all of your single issues?
Yeah, I've done it once before, right before I went to college, and I
for cash, for beer money,
for money, for drinking, and like.
And you call yourself a fan?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
Well,
not
he's more
really
of a fan of drinking than he is.
Yeah,
of comics,
at that time in my life, I was a much bigger fan of eating and drinking than I was of having a really sweet issue of New Mutants. I used to have all the issues of New Mutants, and I loved that series, and I sold all of them.
I sold my first New Mutants 1 through 10 this week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, I was never going to – I read them all like
what'd you get?
70 times.
What it,
I'm not going to say.
You know, there's certainly some stuff in the past that I regret getting rid of. That now is worth quite a, you know, like my entire run of X-Men, Uncanny
That's
X-Men.
Me too. My first semester of college was paid for by Uncanny X-Men 104 through like 210.
But now it's, you know, I know what I want. I know what I want to keep. I don't care what something's worth any longer. I mean, it means nothing to me at this point in my life that I'm not going to try and recoup any value from them because, honestly, you're not going to. You can go to eBay. You can go to any comic book store. Yeah. You can go to the conventions and try and sell them. And you're always going to get less than what their priced value is because it's only worth
– We're all – you know, our median age is probably about 30, 31.
I am 26, my friend.
You are not. Actually, Sal's our elder statesman on the panel today. You're 35. I'm 33. Tom is 27. And
punk.
I think that we all
cut your hair.
We were all kind of caught in the speculative market of the 90s, where all the big news was get the Death of Superman or get X-Force number one. It's going to be worth a bunch of money. I unloaded 6 number one issues of X-Force number one. And, Mark, did you even keep them in the store? Do you use them to
they're in the toilet
boxes?
Straight to CGC.
They're in the bathroom.
Straight to CGC.
So I think that after that we realized as maybe a generation of comic fans that speculating on comics as investment – is just going to drive you insane and lead to a lot of disappointment. I finally came back into comics after getting so burnt out by that and realized that I just like to read comics and I don't care what they're going to be priced at. I did get 2 copies of Marvel Zombies by accident. Yeah. I bought it off the shelf and then I came back the next week and Mark had put one in my pull box because he thought I would like it. Didn't know that I'd bought it. I had actually forgotten I had bought it because I didn't read it yet. So I had 2 copies of Marvel Zombies.
Speculator.
Number one. No, it was okay. It was speculating by accident.
Yeah.
I brought it. They're selling it for $35 now. I brought it in a couple weeks ago and traded it for a trade. And I'll take my other one whenever the hardcover comes out.
I have that. I'm bringing that in.
I'll bring in my full run of Marvel Zombies and probably trade it for the hardcover. Will you do that, Mark?
Trade
me straight up
the single issues
of Marvel Zombies for the $20 hardcover coming out.
Okay. You might.
Well, there you go.
Except everyone will be doing the same things.
So. Yeah, great.
I'll be doing it first. But no, I became a much happier comic book reader when I decided that the only value they have to me is what they're worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I don't pay attention to what they may be worth or may not be worth. I could care less. It isn't something that, you know, has any... Because a lot of times stuff that is worth a lot to me isn't worth anything. It's, you know, crap that I could care less about. So I don't have the space in my house to try and store...
That's a big
you know,
thing is the space consideration. You know, and there are people that are
cardboard boxes are tiny.
Well, you know, I was talking about us as 90s generation, you know, 80s, 90s generation collectors, and there were a lot of, you know, intentional overprints, and the whole speculator market got out of control. But there are collectors out there. You know, we're going to have Bob Breedle on Monday's episode.
We're going to attack him.
Well, no. Bob's been collecting.
Game rape.
He's been collecting since 1970. Oh. And his comics are worth something from an investment standpoint.
Sure.
And that is totally different than what we do. But Bob still has a very healthy love of the medium, and he understands that the things that he buys now are not really going to be investment. It's his early issues of the JLA and that kind of stuff that holds an investment.
Sure, and there's a certain part of me that would like to go back and purchase expensive comics, you know, classic stuff and have it. But honestly, it's just like, what am I going to do with it?
Well, you just
what's the point?
You just got the Fantastic Four Omnibus.
Yes.
That was what? Fantastic Four 1 through 34?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
1 through 35.
I haven't read it all yet.
You got it basically for
nothing.
Less than $100, and it was, you traded in a bunch of comics.
I traded in a bunch of comics that I didn't want for something.
You'll be fine.
How much more enjoyment would you get out of actually spending thousands of dollars to buy
Fantastic Four? None at all. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, it's it's just that collector mentality that I think that, you know, it's part of all of us to some degree that enjoy comics. For some reason, we have that in us that we want to have something that nobody else has, or that we want to have something that's rare. And I don't know. I think it's just sort of, it may just be American, or, you know, in some sense. But
conspicuous consumption.
I'm looking over in the corner here, and there's, you know, this old Spider-Man phone with a chimney and Spider-Man. I have that somewhere in, like, my mom's attic. I don't know what it's worth, but, I mean, it's like guys that collect
worth
that.
If it works, I'd use it, man.
Well, I mean, it's just... it's just that collector mentality of like, you know, it's sort of just that greed of, you know, and wanting to
hoard it,
coveting all this stuff and trying to hoard everything. And I don't know. To me, it just at this point in my life, I could care less.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
It's, you can read a book now and know immediately that you'll never look at it ever again. Like, I just read an issue of Outsiders, and before I even got to the last page, I almost didn't finish it. I was like, I'm never going to read this ever again. What would ever possess me to read it? So it's, you know, it's part of sort of the fact that we're even reading them is different from, you know, speculators
Is bringing in comics to sell them back to a shop or whatever, is it admitting defeat as a collector? That it's like, I failed and now I must shed
my guilt.
Look at
all the stuff I bought that I made a huge, I always trip and fall in this hole of buying this, you know. Book.
Well, but at the same time, you turn around and every week I see you, you know, walk out of the store here with a stack of quarter books, and you're not interested. But I mean that you enjoy those, and you're spending very little money to get them, and you get the stack of comics, and you go home, and you have all this enjoyment.
They sit in a box.
And they're
I think what we're getting into is that this is a very one-sided discussion because. And I'm not saying that we are the best comic fans, but
I am.
The three of us,
the number one, the best comic fan
guys,
in the entire
up there, gunslinger
guys, calm down.
World.
Most handsome.
Yeah, well, there is that.
There's
well
none
hung.
Of that at this table.
Fast, but I am the fastest.
I think we all agree that
quickest draw.
That I would rather read a comic than, you know, even if it's in a reprint, just to read it and experience that comic than to, you know, own. Now, if someone's going to walk up and give me Amazing Fantasy 15, I'm going to take it.
You know, going to sort of the second part of that question that you asked is about, does it hurt the industry? Does it make it better? I think it hurts the industry, you know, in some ways, because you have the big two and even to a larger degree, some of the smaller publishers and independent publishers trying to use that to their advantage to sell more books. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take a company like, I can't think of who, the guy that puts out The vampire chick with the enormous knockers.
Vampirella?
No, not a Vampirella. It's another
one. Lady Death.
Yeah. I mean, he puts out like 12 covers, to, you know, and they're all porn,
trying to tap into
you
that.
You can masturbate to every single one of them.
But it's all garbage, you know what I mean? It's all sort of crappy stuff, and instead of producing quality comics. And that's why I like the trade industry, and I like how everything's moving to trade, because you know what? If a comic isn't good enough to keep, you know, enough people interested in buying it to make it to a trade, it maybe shouldn't have been made in the first place.
Well, first of all, if you would have been here, you would have seen the guy who was looking at all the Lady Death issues just turn around and look at us and then walk out of the store and put all of the copies down and go.
There's a niche for
it. Is he the guy with the hairy palms?
I think it'd be interesting if you took out the collecting aspect, how much it would affect comics. Because I think for a fan, for someone, I'm not really a collector, so it's hard for me to think that way. And therefore, it's hard for me to imagine there's a lot of people like that. Just as I imagine people that are really big into collecting are like, how could you not be into collecting? I know, I'd be curious, because I think it would be really surprising to see if somehow you were able to eliminate collectability, how that would really affect
the
comic industry.
I mean, I know personally I was, years ago I was a huge collector, and I bought multiple copies of issues, and I... You know, and I did all that stuff that now I look at and I think it's just silly. I don't know if it's just part of age.
Instead of those six X-Force number ones, I could have been buying 11 Rockets at the time.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Or you could have saved up for every single Zero issue. I mean.
But I think it's part of it is, I mean, you look at other industries that gear their stuff towards kids, like, you know, and maybe this is a little older, but like Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Pokemon.
I mean, it's the perfect example of like
how'd you know that?
Gearing and marketing everything.
Yeah.
Marketing everything towards that collector.
Well, that was
mentality.
Their marketing tagline.
I mean,
gotta catch them all.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Make it's your parents. Your parents have to catch them.
You must buy every one of these.
Or Beanie Babies. You know, for 2 years, Beanie Babies were like the most wanted thing, and everybody on the planet, it became a shark feeding frenzy that everybody needed to have these things.
Buy them in a yard
sale because they were
going to.
I mean, my mom still thinks she has these Beanie Babies that are worth something.
Yes.
You know,
my mom has all these Beanie Babies, and she put them all in my room after I moved.
Oh,
so every time I go home, there's like a fucking husky, like Beanie Baby, staring out from this basket filled with just like platypuses.
Your mother put Beanie Babies
in my room,
in your bedroom.
Yes, in my room
to replace you.
To replace that whole
the love that
shaped hole.
Is that why you grew the beard and put a scar on your face?
Yeah, that's why I'm just kind of like. That's why I have these glassy eyes, so I can. Approximate that empty feeling.
Let's move on to another one of Papercut's questions. He goes, alternative covers are back, and this is kind of playing on the whole speculator deal.
Did they ever really leave?
You know, I don't think they ever did. Are we heading towards another speculator market? Do publishers secretly wish for more speculators to sell more books?
I don't think they
or have
secretly.
I don't think there's any secret about it. Or have they learned from the crash of the 90s? And then he goes on, is CGC good or bad for the industry? Is dynamic forces? So I think we're talking about variant covers, how the industry uses them, do they overuse them, and then the whole CGC boom. When was the first slabbed book that you remember seeing?
1987, it was a copy of Vampirella. I have no idea.
I don't know. I think it's great to take a comic book and make it unreadable. What they should do is they should take all the bad books and slab those so no one can read
it.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I think I mean,
I wonder what
you look at it, you look at
X-Force number one goes for.
You look at it. All right, enough with the X-Force. And there's plenty of worse books out there on the racks than X-Force.
Ooh, we got ourselves
Brigade.
An X-Force fan.
I sold my entire run of Brigade.
No, I'm not an X-Force fan, but it's just silly to keep.
I'm gonna call you Cannonball.
Anyway, you know, we look at something like CGC as, you know, an evil or something in the industry.
No, I don't
but
think it's evil.
Mark does. Some people do. I think Chris looks at something like CGC.
If it is used
Hold
correctly.
On.
Oh, okay, cool.
Shush.
You two need to start need to start your own podcast.
I can edit you out at any time. So.
I'm the host, but you hold the power.
That's
Damn.
Right.
You
I'm
guys
the man
should start
behind
your
the
own,
man.
And you can release yours on Tuesday.
Shut up, Tom. You're just a guest here.
And you can release yours on Wednesday.
Go ahead.
Anyway, all they did was tap into something that already existed. I mean, you had people buying these comics that, you know, they wanted to protect their investment, and they never read them anyway. They put them away, whether it was Mylar and a, you know, backing board or whatever it was. You know, they just tapped into that. It's not like they created that part of the industry. You know, they may have made a sort of cottage industry out of it by, you know, the rating and everything else. But the rating was going on just in a less, you know...
exact.
Good old form. American entrepreneurship.
Well, at least now, if you do own books that, you know, are worth something, you can have that certified. And,
well,
you know,
takes
so
the subjectivity
that
out of it.
Thing.
It takes the subjectivity
right.
out of it. You know, that's,
so those evil comic store managers can't rip you off.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I see is...
Rob you.
You know,
Rob
say,
you.
Okay, we'll look at the new release wall.
Talking to the microphone.
Supergirl number 7 came out this week.
Slapped.
The things that upset me is whenever next week I'll see a CGC 9.8 Supergirl number 7.
You can still get a 9.8 on the shelf.
Yeah. and you'll see it CGC graded online for, you know, $90 or some bizarre,
well,
ridiculous.
I think what collectors should do, and because, you know, it doesn't do anything to increase the value of a book if you buy 12 copies and put them away. You should buy 12 copies, burn 11 of them, and then the value will go up.
Tell everyone else the book sucks.
Right.
Then none of them. Pre-order.
But, yeah. So something like that is ridiculous. Now, a CGC of a Action Number One or a Detective 27 or, you know, whatever landmark book. Now, those are auction items, and if you're going to spend that much coin, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on something that's not going to be a reading copy... Yeah, I would want that graded.
You know,
and so CGC has its place on... rare and expensive books. So for that reason, I don't think it's bad, but I think it's this overuse for common everyday issues that are, you know, a month or two old. What was it, the Countdown to Infinite Crisis? Was that like a 50 cent
Dollar book that's slabbed right up there.
A dollar book. They were... I was seeing CGC
it's right
rated.
It's right there.
Is there a CGC?
Yes, there is.
Hold on.
Dark Tower?
No, okay. Here's the thing. If you get Action Comics number 1 slabbed. First of all, you don't want to open it up because Superman doesn't even really look like Superman in that. Number 2, why doesn't anyone talk about Action Comics number 2? I'm sure that's also worth a lot of money, but you never hear anyone talk about that.
What are you guys selling this for?
It's unpriceable.
$25.
So Countdown to Infinite Crisis, it's a dollar book. It is a 9.8 CGC universal grade for $25.
Hey, if there's somebody out there that wants to spend, if that wants
it
to have
costs,
that.
It costs you around $20.
And what you're paying there is not for the comic, you're paying for the CGC grade.
But 25 years from now, maybe that's worth something. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at some point you do get, you know, you get rid of comics. People get rid of comics. They all end up either in that comic book store, or they end up thrown away or something. I mean, it's not like it used to be where, you know, nobody, you know, grandma didn't know that your comics were going to be worth something when you moved out and
grandma,
you know, threw them all out and you went back.
She traded them in for pound puppies.
Well, I mean, that's why a lot of, you know, old comics are rare, you know, are worth something because they just don't exist. Nowadays... comics are, you know, a Supergirl number 7, 20 years from now, you're probably going to be able to pick one of those up pretty cheap, you know, because they're going to be around. But are you going to be able to pick one up in perfect condition that's graded and rated? So, I mean, it has some sort of value, sure, if that's what you want. Me, personally, I'll never buy a CGC book. I'll never have a book rated unless, you know... I all of a sudden come into a bunch of money and I decide to buy a bunch of old comics, but I don't think I ever would.
But see, I think that's it. That's my stance anyways, that I think it has its place for the right comics and, you know, not for...
What about alternate covers? We skipped over that.
For, once again, for the right reasons. I think What you saw with Civil War, what they're doing right now, and to an extent, Infinite Crisis. I think Infinite Crisis was a little bit different because they had the Perez cover and the Jim Lee cover, and that was obviously, I think, a ploy by DC to boost sales to get people to buy both covers. Now, whenever you go into
But is that a bad thing for them to do? I mean, they're Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a business. They're in the process of making money. That's what they. If there's someone out there that's willing to spend 4,000 times cover price for something because it's a little rare, I don't think it's evil by the one of these companies to do it.
No, they're in business.
My only issue with it is if they do it at the expense of the quality of the books, which I haven't really seen that in the big two and most other publishers. I think in some regards you see it on lower level books that are crappy, and they use that as a ploy, to try and make them more appealing. If they instead of just writing a good book,
I have no problem with it, and I also don't have a problem with reprints having different covers. I've got no problem with that because for me, I want to know if I have a first or second printing. I have second printings of books that look identical to the first printings of books at home. Yeah, but there's still the collector in me. I've got a second printing of Daredevil 26, the first Bendis issue of Daredevil, and it looks just like the first printing, but I know it's a second printing.
And what does it mean?
And that bothers you to the core of your soul.
It does. It drives him crazy. I have a first printing.
It's a little
itch
that I can't scratch. So,
every time you read it, you're like, sweeter.
Because I'm gonna trade my run of Daredevil in for the oversized hardcovers. So. So it'll just be a matter of Mark notices.
Why are you jumping on my bandwagon and trading stuff in for hardcovers? I started
because I'm moving in with my girlfriend, and she's telling me to get rid of crap.
I'm going to trade all my trades in for single issues.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tom's going the
what do you got? I probably have a bunch of.
My only problem with variant covers is when people will buy variant covers. Even if they bought the original, it's buying two copies of one.
We're blaming you, listeners.
Instead of taking that $3 to buy something else to expand their comics world.
Oh, you know you do it.
Not anymore. I used to.
Last year.
I used to.
Mark, how long ago did you stop doing that?
Yesterday.
Listen to Around Comics new every Monday, and now with all new and improved bumpers between segments. The anticipation is killing you, isn't it?
All right, we're going on to
the next
topic.
Is there more than one cover for this book?
How do you determine what you want to collect versus what
one?
You want to read?
I don't
read.
Even care if it's real.
Is it based on what you can afford? If money was not a problem, would you buy every series that piqued your interest or just the ones that you deem worth collecting? So I guess he's asking...
Everything I want to read.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate enough that I don't... money... I mean, there's some things. No, I don't mean it that way. But it's like, I spend $150 to $200 a month on comics. That's my sort of one, hobby that I spend money on. Buy just about everything I want to read.
Listeners can't see that you're sitting on a pile of
cash,
gold
doubloons,
gold doubloons.
I have
lights and cigarettes with $100 bills.
I don't buy everything. I there's a lot of stuff I don't buy just because I know I'm not going to like it. Yeah. So it's not really a question of whether it's worth collecting or not. I could care less if it's worth collecting. It's whether it's worth reading
I get about as much as I want to read.
Yeah, I mean, I'm to the point where I can't read as much crap as I buy. I buy so much.
I've been resisting buying Rakuten for about 6 months now.
Don't resist it.
I finally caved in. I bought the trade.
How is it?
And I loved it. It's fantastic.
I
don't buy everything that I think I might like because I'd never be able to get through all of it.
Well, yeah, that's sort of. I mean, there's a lot of mainstream stuff that I buy because I like the characters, and I think right now there's a lot of good stuff out of Marvel and DC. But there's, I'm much quicker to cut stuff off now if I don't enjoy it, as opposed to I need to have this run complete or something.
Run.
Yeah, I could care less whether or not it, is it good? Am I enjoying it? Do I like reading it? that's what, you know, I base my decision on. Not I need to have, you know.
I just made a decision, though, because I do pick up a lot of things that I want to read and I am interested in. But like American Way, I'm 3 issues behind on that. I'm going to stop getting it, and I'm going to wait for the trade. I'm already 3 issues behind. I've run out of
time. It's only selling 8,000 copies. So.
You know, I really liked that book up until the last couple of issues, but that's a whole
But my whole
topic.
Point is sometimes I run 3 and 4 issues behind on a book, and I'm new rule. If I'm 3 issues behind on a book, I'm going to stop getting it, and I'm going to get the trade.
There's a side rule on that, though, if it's Greg Rucka or Witchblade. He doesn't necessarily mean anything. How far are you behind on Witchblade?
I haven't read Witchblade in 2.5 years.
Yeah. 30 issues.
1 issue to go, well, boys. Issue to go.
I always, after I get about 6 issues of something, every 6 issues, I go back and reread the 6 issues to see if I actually like it. Sometimes I'll read it, and I won't remember what happens like the month before. And I'll just read and I'll be like, oh, that's all right. Then I'll read the 6 of them together, and I'll be like, well, that was pointless. I don't know why I'm getting that.
How the hell do you keep that organized?
I have an Excel spreadsheet at home.
He has an Excel spreadsheet in his mind.
You are an accountant.
I keep track. I mark down whether I like them or not.
Good Lord.
So I can remember.
A little taste.
Really funny one from Papercut that I want to get Mark's opinion
Who's
on.
Who's the strongest?
So Mark, come on over here because I want your opinion on this right away.
All 3 of you are animals.
Is there anything wrong with reading comics or trade paperbacks in the stores or shops on a fixed budget? If that is the only way to keep up with the titles you want? So, Mark, as a shop owner, is there anything wrong with people perusing the aisles and reading their comics?
I see the use of it, but it doesn't really help the market. By them reading the books.
Well, it's not my job to help the market.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your job.
Mr. Online Comic Buyer.
That's right. I'm a consumer,
man. You've
got
to convince me not to eat and buy comics instead.
Well, I mean, you've had folks, and I've heard some of the stories. You had one guy in particular that would come in every week, and he would read
3 or 4 books.
Yeah.
He'd read 3. He'd buy 1 if I'm lucky, and he'd read 3 to 4 books. He'd be here for an hour and a half. And we kind of put up with it for a while, but after he did it consistently, week after week, we just finally told him, you know, it's not a library, and you're reading books that other people are going to want to buy later on, and it's unfair for them to buy a used copy.
Well,
of
I think I think it's the same sort of question as about like downloading. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't afford to buy the books, and the only way you can get it is to download them, is it right to do that?
I can't afford the CDs, so is it okay then download the music?
Right. Well.
And the movies, we're, you and know, the TV shows.
No, it's not right, but at the same time,
but of course,
most everyone does that.
Of course, we don't do that.
Right. Well, you know,
I've never downloaded a comic.
I never have. I don't believe in reading comics online, except for like cartoons.
You've read downloaded comics.
I've read Miracle Man.
Did you really?
Okay, yeah. So you haven't downloaded them yourself.
I downloaded some Alan Moore books.
So it's better that somebody else downloaded it and gave it to you, and you read it.
Someone gave me a CD of Miracle Man. Of a downloaded Miracle
I know
Man.
More than that now that you've read. Don't lie.
Oh, but yeah, I read like 3 pages of that. and threw it away.
It's felt dirty. Threw it away.
I felt dirty.
I was the one that gave you Miracle Man. You can't get that.
They're hard to find.
And you know what? And if you could get it, I'd buy them. You know, absolutely. If they came out with a trade, I'd buy it, no question.
As soon as it's out of legal, you know, the legal whatever it's in. I'm sure they'll put trades out, and we'll all go out and buy them. And those few trades that are out there will stop being $150 a piece.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing as far as like downloading comics. It's like, I downloaded a ton of comics. I don't have time to read the comics I buy. Why would I download comics that I don't have time to read?
Yeah.
I don't download comics very often. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, I have only done it once or twice for a couple of things that I wanted to read and I didn't. Really want to invest the money in because they were more expensive things that I just wanted to read. Is it is wrong because on some level, I mean, obviously legally it's wrong.
Sure.
But also the creators, you know, if they're getting, you know, gypped out of stuff. But I wouldn't buy it anyway. You know, I'm not...
That's the catch 22. I'm a lot of the CD. I download music. I go, but I wouldn't be buying the CDs. I don't know the last time I bought a CD for myself.
Right. Literally, yeah, same sort of thing.
I stopped buying CDs long before MP3s ever came out. Just because I got tired of the prices and everything else. So.
And a lot of times, with CDs or with whatever, you know, it's like if it's something I like, I will go buy it. You know, especially with comics because I don't particularly like reading comics on a computer screen.
Me either.
If I read something that I do like, I would go buy it because I don't have a problem spending the money. But, you know, this question was, you know, if you're on a fixed budget and you can't.
Is it okay to go into a comic shop and put it on the shelves?
It's not. I mean, certainly it's not.
I think it's even wrong. Wrong in that sense just because you're using a book. I mean, like, someone else is going to want
to
buy that.
Right,
I mean,
as opposed to a digital thing.
Barnes & Noble's whole idea is based on that, though, going in there and reading the books. You don't have to buy them.
Yeah.
Find a comfy seat.
They don't seem to be hurting,
and read the books.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you go into the manga section over there, and there's going to be at least one kid sitting on the floor reading.
That doesn't sell in the Midwest.
I think it's more of an East Coast, West Coast thing, but that's just...
Mostly West Coast.
I always see in the graphic novel section, there's always some kid sitting in the middle of the aisle reading.
That was me, Tom.
Oh, okay. Some small...
Bernie works at our good friend Bernie Gonzalez from the Forum. Said the week after you did a Top of the Stack on Rats, the book, they found 3 copies of them in the aisle. He said it's the first time he's ever seen that book.
Rats by Robert Sullivan?
Yes.
Wow.
He said it was actually really scary.
You wield
really
real
scary.
Power, my friend.
Jesus Christ. People, send me a check for $10. You'll get the Tom Cater's newsletter.
So that was,
Well, I think,
every 7 years.
7 years.
I'm going to say this as my sort of definitive answer to that question, whether it's digital or in a store.
We're going
to
do it.
And it's going to be what my grandpappy always said was, it's only wrong if you get caught. I don't know.
First rule about downloading comics is that we don't talk about...
See, if I can't afford a comic, I just make it up in my head. So I've got 10 years of Nightwing in my head right now.
I thought you bought all... That's what you were buying, all those quarter issues, so you cut them up and you make your
make
own comics.
Make my own comic. Oh, Sasquatch!
Hey, if I get arrested for like the Miracle Man and like the one other comic that I downloaded,
bring it on.
You know, they have to prove that I'm hurting the industry in some way, and you know it's going to be hard to do when I spend $200 a month.
I don't
comic
think that
books,
we
so.
Hurt the industry. At
I'd
all,
like to see Neil so. Gaiman try and come get me for downloading Miracle Man. Doesn't he have the rights?
Neil Gaiman's a badass.
I don't know.
He would
McFarlane Gaiman. It's that's why it's
I'm
not
fast.
Printed
He's
out
British.
Because
he'd get you with his cane.
It's between Gaiman.
That didn't stop
more.
Them.
The Miracle
the
Man thing.
So tough.
That's why they turned tail and ran from the colonies.
Exactly.
Bunch of foppish cowards. Except for Kieran Gillen, author
who we love.
We love, and he's a man's man.
He's a tough guy.
How do you store your comics?
In the garbage. I throw them out after I read them.
You're really helping the industry.
Yeah, I'm helping. Yeah, I'm helping everyone. I put them in a box.
I get my comics bagged and boarded. I tape them up to put them in a long box.
No, we use drawer boxes.
Well, I'm slowly converting to drawer boxes, but, you know, I don't. They're not a sponsor, so I'm not plugging them.
They're in alphabetical order.
Well, okay.
No, actually, we got the entire store here has switched over to drawer boxes, and they sell them now. I bought 4 of them last week and combined, I think, 7 short boxes into 4 of the long drawer boxes, and it's great.
Switchblade box.
I'm digging them. Yeah, no. There's,
you know, I've gotten to the point where it's like I have probably 5 long boxes of stuff that is unsorted crap from the last 5 years that I just, you know, I used to like alphabetize everything and put it all, you know. I just don't have the time.
You have
I don't have the time.
Boxes of things
I just
not
have,
in order.
I just have boxes and boxes of comics that
would drive me freaking insane.
I spent 3 well, days last weekend.
I can't catch up on it, dude. I spent a weekend, you know, trying to catch it. There's too much.
If I can't finish the books from my previous week before Wednesday, I have like a conniption fit on Tuesday night because I know it's coming and I can't stand. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll bring comics to work and read them at work at my desk.
And then put them in order there.
Yeah, and like, because I can't stand, I have
well,
to be.
Well, you're more than welcome to take your anal retentiveness to my house and organize my comics.
And then
anytime.
When I put them in, I have to tape them and then shut them 10 times to make sure the tape is good.
Sal just gets tired of saying, stop touching daddy's comics.
Oh, God.
I've got a short box of to read comics right now. And it's
oh no, this
nuts.
Isn't my to read. This is stuff I've read.
Oh yeah.
So what we're saying is that, Sal, you're a lazy fuck.
Hey, I got two kids and a house that's falling down around my head. The comic books in my and a friggin' podcast and a website.
Some of the comics. They make good insulation and stuff.
The last thing I have to worry about is whether my friggin' comics are
alphabetized. So he's not like me. He's not sitting awake at 3 in the morning, Wednesday morning, like, oh, God.
I'm
the new issue.
No, I'm sitting.
Do I put 100 bullets last because it's a number, or do I put it in the O's for one?
It goes at the beginning.
Yeah,
with numbers.
It's a number. It's in the beginning.
I put my numbers
on,
at
loser.
The end.
What?
What?
What is wrong with
that
you?
That is a whole other issue. Next question.
Are you from Europe or something?
That's Canadian style.
He also reads.
It's called a round box. It's a circle, and you file it in a circle.
If you're a collector, do you think autographs damage the value? As the books have technically been written on.
Hey, Mr. Suntress!
John Suntress.
We just had John Suntress from Word Balloon
wander
into the store.
All right, we're gonna kick Mark out and
simple retailer.
Now I feel bad.
Hey, John. Have a seat. How you doing?
How are you? Good to see you.
How you doing, young man?
All right. How was Mike last week?
Mike.
Oliveri?
He's fantastic. He was great.
Oh,
he was very good.
Yeah,
we forgot his name already.
We've got another Mike tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Who's
Oming. Actually, no, not tomorrow. Last
Wait,
Monday.
Yeah. You got Oming coming up?
Oming and Brandon. Ivan Brandon.
It would have already been out by the
time.
Oh,
we've just destroyed the illusion.
Oops.
Because this is next
the
Thursday's
episode.
The magic of
editing.
That's cool. All right.
Well,
very
you,
cool.
You can edit that right out. You know, that's editing.
How you doing,
sort of
John?
Behind the scenes stuff
good.
That people
doing
love.
Doing great, guys. I wanted to come by and say hey. And I didn't want to presume.
No, you got a few minutes?
So, of course.
You're always awesome. Welcome on the show.
Oh, okay. I tell you, we've got a couple points here. Actually, we're saying, hey, John. This is John Suntress from Word Balloon, one of our good friends of the show. Yes, so if you have not listened to Word Balloon, which, you know, who am I kidding? Chaykin, have you done the Chaykin interview
yet?
No,
I talked to Chaykin, and I'm following up on Monday because he was pressed for time, so I got him to agree to about another 20 minutes.
Was
so
he
Val,
a,
I'll be asking more questions.
Was he a dick?
He was great.
Was
he?
That's good to hear.
I think he likes to take charge of a conversation, and that's okay because it's just kind of fun. And
being
I
the submissive
that
you are,
it.
Well, it was no problem.
Well, also, it's like, you know, I'm like, Howie, it's your dime. I mean, whatever you want to talk about. So it was fun. I mean, we really talked a lot about TV, just in general, and really his attitude, and also kind of where producers are. Because so many of these comic guys are really kind of touching the Hollywood world. And it's like, well, geez, you guys are working in Hollywood. It's a no-brainer. How come they're not coming after you? And Chaykin's view on it, oh, thank you very much. Boy, oh boy.
The
all
champagne
right.
of beers.
Don't say I'm what it big, is. Oh, they're not a sponsor.
Well, that's good. that's good enough, the champagne of beers.
Yeah.
I think someone's going to have
hint,
to
hint,
that
wink,
for a
yeah.
But anyway, no, he was great. It was really interesting. But then it's like, well, I guess we're not talking that much about Flag. But that's okay. You know, I it was fun. And he's so much stuff coming out, so much new stuff. I mean, my God, it's like he's got like five projects that are either current
did
or
you,
in the hopper.
Did
so.
You touch on any of, you know, his evolution of art style at
yeah,
all?
Yeah, well, and he talked about, you know, post-layoff and stuff. And also, I was curious, because there's a guy, there's an old-school guy that goes back to the 70s, what new technology do you use today?
Mm-hmm.
And he even said with Zipitone, he's like, you know, all of us Zipitone guys, we kind of like figured out Photoshop before it actually happened.
Right,
kinda,
before it
you know,
existed.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, stuff like that is a boon to the things he does.
Sure.
And just the way he lays out a page. I mean, you know, with stuff like that, and that's when I gush. And I'm like, yeah, it's really great. You know, and that's the thing. It's like,
do you have
like,
any
you know,
questions? How did you find out you were awesome at this?
And that's, you know, that's what I always tell my friends who are artists and stuff. And they're like, you should have more artists on it. And it's like, I don't know what to ask. I'm like, you know, I'm like, writing I can handle.
Yeah,
you know,
so do you think you're
stuff.
Good?
Well, no, you know, but it's just you just have these layman questions and stuff.
Well,
so,
I tell
yeah,
you, the Luna Brothers interview you did, really nice.
They're the guys.
I mean, I got to meet these guys.
They're really cool.
I
want to
party
you know,
with the Luna Brothers.
I hope they're coming to Chicago. I know they're going to be at San Diego.
Everyone's going to be at San Diego.
I know, and also, don't you guys feel like the Chicago show has just kind of slowly gotten less important?
Oh, we were talking about that the last week.
I started a thread on our forum about that. Wizard World Chicago, I think that what I'm feeling right now is a little bit of a creator backlash from partly what happened with the HeroCon Wizard World Atlanta deal, and I think that a lot of the creators that rallied around Heroes Con mm-hmm. And, I mean, Warren Ellis went to Heroes Con. Warren right. Ellis doesn't come to the United States for conventions.
Yeah, that was the cause. That was the 2005 cause.
I think
agree with that.
A lot of people decided to go to Heroes Con this year instead sure. of Wizard World Chicago. And I'm thinking a lot of them will come back next year. But
we'll see. I mean, I honestly think even just separate from that whole thing, that Wizard Chicago has just kind of diluted the last couple of years, partially because Wizard is sprouting these other satellite cons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like we just want to spread it all out.
It's 2 weeks after San Diego.
Well, and that's the other obvious thing, too. Although a lot of them, it seems, were relieved to come to Chicago just because San Diego is like business and Chicago is when you can just kick
Well, I know we talked fun. When we Keep talked to Rucka party. And we asked him about conventions, and he was saying that, you know, he liked Wizard World Chicago because it was a pure comic book convention, and San Diego is great and it's huge, but it's, you know, television, movies, and everything, and right. it's just an enormous,
and it keeps getting bigger.
Yeah,
I mean, everything that's going on in San Diego this year, it's like, wow, man, you know, Hellboy cartoon, NBC's there with Heroes, their new show that's coming out in the fall. You know, everybody's
it's just
gonna coming
keep growing,
out for this.
Yeah. You're going to Wizard or to San Diego, right?
I am.
You
I
have
am,
the
yeah.
panel out there. The
yeah, that's going to be fun. I wish you guys were there. Truly.
Well,
truly.
We're
going to
do
maybe
our next year. San Diego
we're,
episode.
We're
going to pretend
we're
there.
We're not nearly popular as John Suntress and his word balloon to
I,
be
I
on any
tell
panels.
You, well, you guys completely kicked my ass in the web design thing. Seriously, the site looks great. I love
thank
all
you,
the options
Sal.
In terms of, like, you know, getting the show and stuff like that. I am very impressed.
Mutual
thank you.
Back slapping.
Truly, truly.
But the show sucks. Is that
no,
what you're
no,
trying to say?
No, not at all. No,
I think that was kind of a backhanded comment by Suntress, wasn't it?
No, you're
we can edit it.
Too much
we can edit it. We can edit
not
it however
not
we
not
want.
Not at all, man. No, I, you know, that's why I'm back. Believe me, if it was like, hey, you guys are great. All right, I'm never going to see this.
Well, there you go. I tell you
I had
what.
So much fun last night.
We'll do a little time bending. On one episode or another, John's going to be back with us and here in a minute.
Okay.
Let's go one last question from Papercuts post, and then we'll go ahead and we'll wrap this puppy up.
All right.
And I think this is an easy one for John to jump in on. What is the most valuable comic or comic-related item that you own?
I have... Oh, I'm sorry.
You,
go
no,
ahead,
you go
no.
first.
Okay. I have the really very few things. I guess the DC from the 30s to the 70s hardbacks, I have those. And
ooh.
Actually, they're not in great shape, but I guess... I'm guessing my Miracle Man trades, because I do have all the
no,
Miracle
Son
ones.
Of a bitch!
So,
can I scan those?
I was just talking about how I downloaded those, because I can't goddamn buy them. Is there?
I know. You know, eventually. I mean, that's why Gaiman made the deal with Marvel, and eventually they'll come out. I'm sure of it. I really
they better.
Am. So, I mean, it's, you know, and I think it's funny, because I think a lot of people who haven't read it are going to be like, oh, it was all about this?
Right,
I mean,
the hype is so much, as it gets so overhyped and
well,
so...
It's just
it's
a character.
Unfair, but I also think it's unfair, because it's almost competing with things that built on those, on the foundation
oh, right,
of that story.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, X, Y, and Z were so much better, and it's like, yeah, that was 10 years later.
They're
and
better because it was created by
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
You know?
I like the Sentry better. And it's like, well, yeah, but, you know, Jenkins,
based
think,
on...
It would be like if Watchmen was going through the same kind of legal problem
sure.
and Watchmen came out, this generation of comic fans would be like, okay, that what's the big deal about? It's
right.
like, you don't understand how groundbreaking
but, I mean,
it
is.
Morrison's Animal Man, same thing.
Yeah, there's stuff in Miracle Man, like there's still panels in there that would be crazy to see in modern, like, I think in ways beyond even Watchmen, it did stuff that nowadays you wouldn't see. Like,
well, we've seen it
right.
in Hollywood.
Too, yeah.
I mean, come on, the Wachowskis had
yeah.
Miracle Man on their mind with that last Matrix movie
yeah.
where you see Agent Smith, and he's totally in the kid Miracle Man pose. And
oh, yeah.
You
I
know,
mean,
or maybe you haven't gotten to 15 yet.
No, I read all of them. I stole
oh,
them
cool.
from the Internet.
That's cool. No, I love that story. So, yeah, that would be my
okay.
answer.
Tom?
My most valuable comic-related possession would probably be my childlike wonder. It allows me to enjoy it. Allows me, it's priceless, and allows me to enjoy. God, I don't freaking own anything worth any, like, what the hell do I own that's worth any money? Not, I literally have just about nothing that's worth any. I can't think of anything that pops out of my head.
I got one, and if it wasn't for
one.
That, you know, okay. Sal.
What is it?
My car. My 1976 Cutlass Salon that's painted like the Batmobile. No, I'm just kidding.
Jesus. Dork. Wow. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have Burgess Meredith's body in my basement. I just bought Frank Gorshin. So
I bought
I have
the rights
Riddler
to Stanley's
too.
Brain.
Yeah.
Poor Frank.
Frank.
No, I was a fan. Probably. I've never priced it, but I have an old porcelain. This was before like the whole statuettes and busts and stuff really became popular. I had bought through mail order. It was like in a Marvel comic. I sent in, and at the time it was like $75, and this was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was an old porcelain. It's a porcelain Wolverine.
It's worth about
$75.
Jesus Christ. Is it really? Okay, so there you go. It's in mint condition. I don't know.
I think this is a job for the Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think you got to get that in.
I mean, I have a Conan number one that I think is worth
maybe
$100 or something.
Conan number one, the ushering into the Bronze Age. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would be funny if
Mark's
brought that.
Like, I have five of them. Shut up, okay. Beatty.
Yeah, what? Yeah, you got Mark's got stuff.
One
item?
One item.
One single item.
Yes, go ahead. Sit down, sir.
You know what my most valuable thing is? My appearance in Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. C.O. Salazar.
That actually kind of trumps almost that.
Uh-huh.
That's the bitch of it.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to pick. I've got... the thing I probably like the most is the Alex Ross... Litho I have at home is a signed number to Litho, the original 7. It was the Justice League, and it goes for somewhere around $1,500 or a couple grand.
Cool.
Nice. Actually, I do have one now. Sorry, stole your thunder there.
I also have Cap Shield, but that's all right. All
right.
You have Cap Shield.
I do.
This probably isn't worth.
Nerd.
This isn't worth any money, probably really. But my girlfriend got me a signed copy of Alex Ross's Mythology.
Yeah,
and I've told
that.
You guys this story. Where she had to wait. She had to wait in line at Chicago Comics.
I was there,
so I'm assuming, yeah,
and
excited,
she
yeah.
got hit on by like
yeah,
20
on
different
her.
Guys.
How you doing?
How you doing?
And so which, you like Alex Ross?
I know my girlfriend
what?
Doesn't even listen to this podcast, but she doesn't like comic books and she doesn't think I'm entertaining. So she won't know, but I'll tell her to listen. Because that is probably the thing. That was one of the nicest gifts anyone's ever got me. Because. I didn't tell her to get that. She figured that out, that I like Alex Ross.
I'd have to go and look. I have Alex Ross. I had him sign the Marvels that okay. I have.
I've got that Walking Dead.
Last year at Wizard, did you guys see that Jim Lee Catwoman Batman poster that was like $5,000?
No.
It was crazy. There was like, it was like a limited print.
I saw Jim Lee drunk in the lobby.
That is worth $10,000. A rare lithograph.
And it was, I'm assuming a scene from Hush. Where he's revealed himself to be Bruce and they're kissing and everything.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was, maybe it was $1,000, excuse me. It might have been $1,000, but still, I thought a bit pricey for a print.
Yeah, I mean, anything that I would have had of value at one point or another, like I said, I sold my collection twice, so I don't have anything that really would be of value. I think I have a Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man number one with Tarantula.
Ooh, Tarantula.
I think that's worth like $30 maybe. All
right. The thing with that poster, though, is they didn't advertise this, but it was actually drawn on the Shroud of Turin. Which is why...
Wow, that's why they're pissed?
That's why it's
they're so pissed at it. That's why the terrorists...
Holy Batman!
That's why the terrorists said, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God. Holy Batman, yeah.
Holy Terror Batman.
Not many people know that Jesus looked like a Jim Lee's Bruce Wayne.
All right. So what's next?
Are we done with this portion?
Oh, what's yours,
Chris?
Thanks,
guys. No, that's fine. I don't own anything.
This podcast?
Well, I've been doing this for 20 goddamn years. I don't own anything.
Your Gilmore Girls limited edition.
No.
DVD collection.
His memories
when
of
was,
the Gilmore Girls.
I like the Gilmore
when
Girls.
When I was 14 years old.
Wait, we don't want to hear about clappy hands. And
my dad got me a copy of Uncanny X-Men number 95, and I still have that. Even when I sold my entire X-Men run to pay for my first year of college, I kept that issue, and I will always keep that. And I think we've talked about it before. He could have spent $20 more instead of getting number 95, and he could have gotten giant size number one, so the cheap bastard screwed me out of a few $100 there, but I still have number 95, so.
Oh, I got three of those.
Oh.
No, I'm just...
Who was the team? The art team on 95?
That was Cochran.
It was Cochran.
That was Death of Warburton.
Okay.
Death of Warburton?
Yeah.
That was so...
No,
such
a
non-X-Men.
Warpath? Whatever.
Yeah, it was like the third...
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird. One of my... Well, it's one of those things where you really get attached to a character, and then they kill him. like three issues.
You try and blame
as if the Native American 10 gun screwed over enough by us to kill their one.
All right, Thomas, let's wrap this one up.
But they brought them back in the new one.
Please remember our sponsor, Geek Armor. Thank you, Mark, for being here. John, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Tom, Sal, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll be back again on Monday for another full-length episode of Around Comics. In the meantime, we will be everywhere in
and around
and inside comics.
Now, we don't own that domain name, Tom.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same. Bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.